Welcome to the Hope Community Sunday Podcast for the weekend of July 28. I'm Dan Nygaard. This summer, we are looking at the Old Testament prophets. We're beginning with the last book of the Old Testament and then working our way backwards. Last week, we looked at Zechariah, who was the prophet who prophesied the millennial kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God on earth. Messiah was the focus of Zechariah's prophecies. Zechariah provided all sorts of pictures that are picked up in the New Testament to describe Jesus as Messiah. Among Zechariah's prophecies are that Messiah would be the branch from God. Messiah would be Yahweh's servant. Messiah would be the shepherd of God. Messiah would enter Jerusalem humbly, identifying as the rightful king of Israel by riding on the donkey's colt. Messiah would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, which is, of course, exactly the payment Judas received hundreds of years later. Messiah would have his hands and feet pierced. Messiah would also return in triumph on the Mount of Olives. Messiah would remove iniquity from the people of God. He would unite the priesthood with the kingship of the people of God of Israel. Messiah would also be the suffering servant. He would be rejected by Jews. He would die. He would bring about the conversion of the nation of Israel, and Israel's enemies would be destroyed. The city, Jerusalem, would be saved. Messiah would reign on earth from Jerusalem. Rather infamously, Zechariah also includes this prophecy. This is the plague with which the Lord will strike all the nations that fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh will rot while they are standing on their feet. Their eyes will rot in their sockets, and their tongues will rot in their mouths. A lot of people have seen this as a prophecy of some kind of atomic warfare in and around the nation of Israel. This week, we look at the Old Testament prophet Haggai. He appears about 520 BC, before the current era, before Christ, and he proclaims four prophecies in 4 months' time. Then Haggai disappears. Now, as a prophet, he was an old man. As a very young man, Haggai had been taken into the Babylonian captivity, and then after 70 years or so, he returned with the remnant to the land of Israel, to Jerusalem. It's possible he was even a witness to Solomon's temple before it was destroyed by the Babylonians. Interestingly, Haggai appears about 2 months prior to the beginning of Zechariah's prophecy. But unlike Zechariah, Haggai, his focus is on the temple, on the Jerusalem temple. And his challenge is that the temple must be reconstructed. Interestingly, the reconstruction of the Jerusalem temple is completed about 4 years after Haggai's prophecies. So while his prophecies are focused on the temple, Haggai's prophecies conclude with the shaking, a foretelling of when the time when God would shake the heavens and the earth. Zechariah's focus is on the millennial, or if you will, spiritual or future millennial kingdom of God on earth. Haggai is very focused on one thing primarily, and that is the rebuilding of the Jerusalem temple. Now, in the book of Haggai, we have in two short chapters, we have four prophecies. There is a command, a prophecy to rebuild the temple. There is a prophecy of encouragement. He encouraged the temple builders, the temple workers, to keep at it, to be diligent, to do good work. There is a prophecy of warning. Haggai warns against the infectiousness of sin. He alerts the people that living in the promised land does not produce righteousness. And finally, there's a prophecy of the future, of when the heavens and earth will be shaken. Haggai chapter 2, verses 21 through 22. I am going to shake the heavens and the earth. I will overturn royal thrones and shatter the power of foreign kingdoms. I will overthrow chariots and their drivers. Horses and their riders will fall, each by the sword of his brother. If you have your Bibles or your smartphone, turn with me to the book of Haggai. That's the third book from the end of the Old Testament, Haggai chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you have brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces, on the people and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. Heavenly Father, in these last few minutes, I pray, we pray, that Jesus and Jesus alone might be exalted. So here's the big idea of Haggai. Here's his principle. Give careful thought to your ways. Haggai chapter 1, verse 7. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Old Haggai, maybe 70 plus, maybe 80 years old, prophesied it was an error for the people to prioritize getting ahead over getting closer to God. Haggai's prophecies condemned the religious indifference of the people. The religious spiritual indifference of the people was fundamental to his prophecies. Verse 9 of chapter 1. Declares the Lord Almighty, because of my house which remains a ruin while each of you is busy with your own house. Haggai's message for those living 400 or 500 years before Christ is a message for us living in the 21st century, which is stop being preoccupied with you. We live in what has been called the I generation. We've got iPhones. We've got iTunes. It's the me generation. Haggai, prophesying hundreds of years before the time of Christ, says, give careful thought to your ways. His challenge, stop being preoccupied with yourself. Haggai makes a countercultural claim, and his claim is this, that people are materially blessed when they put the things of God ahead of their own things. His message, you and me, shall be materially blessed when we put the things of God ahead of what the things this culture claims is important. Give careful thought to your ways is Haggai's big idea. Here's the challenge. The church, the true church, not the institutional church, but the gathering, the assembly, the ekklesia in the Greek. The church gathers to nurture careful thinking, careful thought. You know, in the spring, we went through a series, Why the Church Does What It Does. Why do we gather? Why do we sing? Why do we preach? Why do we pray? Why do we commemorate the Lord's Supper and others? The purpose of the church gathering, the purpose of the ecclesia, was to dedicate time, to set aside time, to withdraw for just a couple of hours, withdraw, disconnect from our culture, from our world, and give careful thought to our ways, our lives, what we are prioritizing. Give careful thought to what God might want us to be about. The church, the ecclesia, is an out-of-this-world experience. I know oftentimes you attend church and it just seems so boring. It's just a service. But it was meant to be something out of this world, on the fringe of the kingdom of heaven. Here's how the Apostle Paul put it in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Paul is talking about spiritual gifts and he's going through prophecy and all this stuff, all the various spiritual gifts, and he throws in this, verse 22 of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Tongues, the Apostle Paul wrote, tongues, that is, unlearned language, heavenly language, glossolalia in the Greek, tongues, then, are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Now, if you read the context, it's pretty hard to comprehend precisely what the Apostle Paul is saying here. But let me make a suggestion to you. He is saying that the gift of tongues, as practiced in the early church and in churches today, is a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. And the sign is that something is going on when the church gathers, when the ecclesia meets. Something is going on here that does not fit comfortably into our culture, into our material world, into our reality. When the church gathers, when the ecclesia assembles, it is to some degree connected with the kingdom of heaven. What is the goal of a church service? What is the goal of a church, of the assembly, of the ecclesia? Well, allow me to provide some critique. The goal of a biblical church is not entertainment. The goal of a biblical church is not to soothe people. The goal of a biblical church, of a true ecclesia, is not to validate people. The goal of the ecclesia was prophesied in Haggai in chapter 1. And that is, the assembly gathers, the Christians gather, the ecclesia meets to nurture careful thinking. Thinking deep thoughts. Why do I exist? And why does the world, why does creation, why does our material reality exist? What is my destiny? What is your destiny? What is the destiny of humanity? And if I have a destiny, what's my purpose in the here and now? How then, if I have a purpose, an out-of-this-world purpose, how then ought I to live? Here is, if you will, the biblical message of the ecclesia. You exist to worship God. Humans were created to give the Creator his due, to give Yahweh glory simply for who he is. Why does the material reality exist? It is, according to the Bible, a creative expression of Yahweh, the greatest artist of all, the greatest creator ever. Reality exists as an expression of his creative joy and reality. Now, humans are designed not for this material world, we're designed for the kingdom of heaven. Indeed, according to Zechariah, the kingdom of heaven was not designed to be some other place. It was designed to be part of this earth, or better said, this earth, this material reality, was designed to be a part of the kingdom of heaven. And you are meant, you were created, you were designed to rule and reign with Christ. We are to live as agents of God. We are to be children of God. And as such, we are to live as aliens in this world. The biblical message for the ecclesia, of what the ecclesia truly is we exist to worship, and reality is an expression of God's creative joy. And we humans are designed for the kingdom of heaven. We are meant to rule and reign with Christ. We are to live as agents and children of God. We are aliens in this world. Now, let's go back to Haggai. He says, give careful thought to your ways. Haggai's challenge for the people 400 plus years before Christ was stop living selfishly and start living for God. Haggai's message to 21st century Christians, and indeed to all people in the 21st century, stop living for yourselves and live for God. Now, Haggai puts almost all of his focus on the Jerusalem temple. And why is this Jerusalem temple featured throughout the Bible? The temple was the focus of Haggai's prophecies. Verse 8 of chapter 1, go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. The temple was the focus of Haggai's prophecies. In the New Testament, in the Gospels, this focus on the temple is transcended. And here's what I mean. Jesus identified himself as the temple. John chapter 2, verses 19 through 21. Jesus answered them, that is the religious leaders of Jerusalem, the temple rulers, Jesus answered them, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. The religious rulers, the temple rulers replied, it has taken 46 years to build this temple and you are going to raise it in 3 days? But the temple Jesus had spoken of was his body. Now, understand, Jesus was deeply respectful of the temple, yet Jesus gave little importance to the temple. Jesus went to the temple. Jesus cleansed the temple. Jesus taught in the temple. Jesus worked miracles in the temple. Jesus observed what was going on in the temple. Yet there's no evidence, there's nothing in the gospel of Jesus participating in temple ritual. He gave it respect, but little importance. The last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, prophesies that there will be no temple in the kingdom of heaven. Revelation chapter 21, verse 22. I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Now, as we go further in the Old Testament prophecies, you will see the temple be a huge focus. And so the difficulty, the challenge for us is how does this temple, how does this material structure fit in to God's plan, fit in with God's design? Different people come up with different answers for this. For the prophet Haggai, rebuilding the temple was the focus of his prophecy. And yet, 2 months after Haggai began prophesying as an old man, a very young man, Zechariah, a very young prophet appeared who began focusing not on the temple, but on the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven on earth, and the reign of Messiah, the millennial kingdom on earth. Haggai leaves us with a wonderful, great hope. And that hope is that Yahweh is with his people. Haggai chapter 1, verse 13. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. The people of God, authentic, true people of God, do not fit well in the material world. You know, a good old test from the holiness perspective, a good old test is the more comfortable you are in the world, the more you need to re-examine your relationship with God. The prophet Haggai said, give careful thought to your ways. The reason the church gathers week after week, month after month, year after year, for over 2,000 years, is Christians and the curious gather not to be entertained, but to give careful thought to their ways, to think deeply about what they are doing in this world, about what they ought to be doing. And as such, the people of God do not fit well in this world. The Apostle Paul summed it up in Galatians chapter 5, verse 23. He's talking about what the people of God look like and how God works through them via God the Holy Spirit. And he writes, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Haggai challenges us, give careful thought to your ways. Do you live in love? Do you live a life of joy? Do you find yourself at peace in every circumstance? If not, give careful thought to your ways. Are you patient with other people? Can you put up with a lot? Do you forbear? Do you have forbearance? Are you kind even when people are mean? Are you good? The prophet Haggai challenges us, give careful thought to our ways. Are you faithful? Are you gentle? Do you exhibit self-control? Let us give careful thought to our ways. God is with his people. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you. Jesus said, whenever two or three gather in his name, there he is. Give careful thought to that reality. Don't just attend church, participate in church. Don't just be an observer, be a participant. Don't sit back and let others be a shining example. Be a minister. Be an agent of God. Be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Give careful thought to your ways, the prophet Haggai challenged the people. And then he reminds us that God is with his people.